Aviation Quest is C101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC. Stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placements. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.ca.
So, episode 21, live on tape. I'm your host, Jürgen Reis, one of your two hosts here at Aviation Quest CC. And my other host, certainly as always, the professional pilot in the cockpit of this podcast. Stefan, hello on the other side.
Hey Jürgen, how are you? All good?
All good, all good. First thing I saw this morning looking out of the kitchen window while preparing my coffee was an airliner. It was too high to spot it, but I think it was an A320. So maybe you're a family colleague of yours.
maybe, yes. Well, I'm off today, so it definitely wasn't me. I'm flying tomorrow again.
I knew, because otherwise it would have been a little bit of a time challenge. But yeah.
yes.
Always busy. Let's use today for a podcast, but it's really our channel is growing and good numbers.
Yeah. Like we said last time, we seem to have a very loyal community. When once people start watching, they keep coming back, so that's great. And we are still a small channel, but you know, we're going in the right direction. So hopefully at some point we have a nice big audience that will enjoy hanging out with us.
And watching, yeah, even though we are an audio cast, but you were building a beautiful bridge to my next topic. I will not forget, it's Aviation Quest or Aviation-Quest podcast. It's a YouTube channel, so we are certainly on the normal, on all over the place, Spotify and Apple Podcast, whatever. You find it on our homepage, but also there you find everything on your homepage. But a special thing, I think it's also a little bit a unique thing of our podcast, is that we have even a video version, thanks to Stefan's work. And there is also today a simulated real-world flight, and where did it lead you today?
Yes, so if you're watching on YouTube, you will see a real-world flight, and today we are flying AK-656, which is a flight operated by Emirates, and we are flying from Dubai to the Maldives in a Boeing 777-300. Very beautiful destination.
Very beautiful destination. Very, very beautiful destination. Yeah, and we are today also, already spoiler alert, beautiful destination also in my very first flight sim adventure today, but we are in Flight Simulation Adventures Part 3. This is the fifth part of our flight sim series. And Stefan, should we keep the same, order like in the last two episodes, that you start with one of your, so to say, all-time remember flight sim adventures of your, still ongoing and already in the teenage years started flight sim career?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to start if it's okay with you.
Go on.
Okay, so I'll go back quite a few years. I think we're talking at the beginning of the time of FSX when that came out. I decided to do a flight around the world, but I wanted to do it only with short-haul aircraft, and I wanted to do it with flights that exist in the real world. So I spent a huge amount of time researching the best routes. One of the things was I didn't want any really long flights, so they all had to be pretty short. And of course, it had to be aircraft that I had on my simulator, so it was A320s, 737. I think in those days there were even some MD-80s still around. I spent a long, long time researching, on SimBrief and everything. And yeah, then I started off. I started off in London. I can't remember all the destinations, but I essentially flew to Athens. From Athens, I think to Cyprus. From Cyprus to Dubai. From Dubai, I hopped across. It was actually fairly easy to get to Asia. But from Asia to the US was really difficult because you have the Pacific. It's a part of the world where there's not much going on in terms of aviation. You can go via Russia, but back in those days, there wasn't much going on. So I remember I had to go via Fiji, and it was really complicated. But I managed, and then I did domestic flights across the US, and then via Iceland into Ireland and then down to London. So I can't remember how long it took, but it was a long time. And I remember I took screenshots of each and every flight and turned it into a PDF file with like a logbook and a bit of experience. And because I also went into Kathmandu and all those places to make it more exciting. And then I posted it online. And that was a really cool experience. I'm actually thinking if I should do this again. In Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, I think it'd be a nice thing to repeat.
Stefan, you just said you made a screenshot of every flight. So this means every screenshot equals a legs. A leg. So how many legs were there?
I can't remember. It was a lot. Because in some parts of the world, you have to fly around really complicated. Like here in Europe, it's fairly straightforward. There's so many connections. But once you go past Asia, I ended up in Japan, and that's really well developed. But then from Japan, with short-haul aircraft across the Pacific, I remember I had to go to China and then into Russia, and I don't know. It was a wild crisscross all over the place. To get to, I think I even ended up in Hawaii at some point. So it was a lot of them. It took me, if I remember correctly, it took me almost 2 months to do the whole.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what specific aircraft and what's the maximum range if you took there? Or was it very different aircraft? I don't know.
Yeah, I flew mostly 737 and
Okay.
A320. Even back then, they were the most common aircraft.
Okay,
And
okay.
I wanted to avoid, because sometimes these aircraft do fly really long routes, like 6 hour routes. I wanted to avoid that. Otherwise, it felt like cheating. I didn't want to use any long haul aircraft. So my aim was always like to stay below 4 hours or something like that. So yeah, there were two or three sectors where I had to go above that because there was just no other way of doing it. But yeah, all in all, it was a cool thing, And when you land back at London Heathrow after 2 months being everywhere, Kathmandu and Fiji and Hong Kong and everywhere, it felt really cool. Like a gives you a real sense of achievement.
Stefan, I just got an idea. I know that there are people out there. I know it. They did what Stefan realized in the simulator in real life. And if you are one of them, please write us. We want to interview you. Yes, you. Go to your homepage and there's an email address. And also, before I forget, LinkedIn. Me, so my name, Jürgen Reiss, it's R. EIS. It's quite easy to find. Just Google it or go on LinkedIn. I think I got some aviation community going on there. This is also an easy way to reach out for me. And every Tuesday afternoon, so around 2 or 3 Central European time, there's also in the moment a nice photo going on with the podcast episode. So there is also, an already comment. So it seems that besides YouTube, there is also some community building up. And we love this community spirit here. And certainly also the comment section of the YouTube channel. And please also, especially when it comes to my flights, feel free to correct me, to criticize me, whatever. I did the best of research what I could, but it was quite a retro research. But I hope, But really, Stefan, I think if there are really all around the world flyers, would be interesting. And certainly other guests are welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I saw a podcast one by a guy who did it as a passenger. He flew around the world in short-haul aircraft as a passenger. And that was quite an experience. I watched a little bit of it. And he mostly used low-cost airline because of budget reasons. And that was quite something, being on low-cost airlines for several days, you know. But it was interesting.
Sounds like mail collecting.
Yes.
Yeah, well, shall I start with my first adventure?
Yes, please. I'm curious.
I already mentioned it, or there was already a spoiler alert of a beautiful scenery like the Maldives. I cannot compare Florida with the Maldives, but I was there, and it was an unforgettable family holiday. When was this? Early 90s, something like this. But there was, 1991, but there was also a flight sim. It was the Level D Boeing 767, and in the last episode, at minute 12, if somebody wants to click back in episode 20, I was somehow losing my train of thoughts there. I was rambling around with, study like crazy, flying like crazy, sunsets, Florida, and screenshots. And somebody was, what are you talking about? And I even was mentioning, I don't know how much time and how much adventures are left. Yes, this is the adventure. This was one of my favorite flights back then in FSX Level D Boeing 767. And I'm pretty sure today, certainly, it looks much more impressive in a nowadays flight sim like X-Plane 12 or Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. And one of my favorite flights was from Miami to Orlando or the other way around. It's about an hour, so with an A320 or a Boeing 737 or also another. As I said, it was my favorite flight in the Level D Boeing 767. And my advice, fly it in the golden hour. So 1 hour before sunset, it's just dreamscape. It's just surreal. Take care of the thunderstorms if you dial in the real-time weather or the real-world weather. But it's a leisure time flight. You will keep in mind. And Stefan, if you allow, can we finally, so to say, propose the unofficial aviation questions flight sim air law?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, because thereby I would say we reopen the Kennedy Space Center for whatever reason, feel free to land there because it's on the way. And if you have, if you want to have some fun and some special adventure, I think it's allowed. By the unofficial Aviation Quest DC flight sim air law, it is allowed.
Okay. I only ever landed the space shuttle there in the sim. It's a very, very, very long runway, huh?
It is, by the way, runway lengths are long all over the place, so this will be not a limited factor. In KMA, IA, so that's Miami. You have about up to 13,000 feet. In Orlando, up to 12,000 feet. And yes, the Kennedy Space Center, about 15,000 feet. So this is over 4,500 meter. Yeah, this is enough for every, even for the space shuttle. And ATDS, this is the ICAO code. There should be free add-ons for X-Plane 12 and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, if my research here is correct. Okay? So
Perfect. Perfect. That
you.
sounds great. So on
Yep.
that runway, if you fly Cessna, you can land, you can take off and land again.
Yeah, you can collect flight hours on the, so you make,
On
you can
the
collect extra landings if you are missing out on landings on
runway.
the same runway and the same flight. Don't know if this counts, but I mean, by the unofficial aviation quest to see flight sim air law, it counts.
Yes, absolutely. And but you have to pay the landing fees twice.
Yeah, to whoever, to with thumbs up on our YouTube channel, and yeah, it's okay. We accept this as a we are building up a nice aviation quest to see universe here.
Exactly. Yeah, that sounds nice. I've never tried that in Microsoft Flight Simulator. Orlando is included as a nice scenery. I don't know about Miami. I need to check that out, but I'll have a look.
Those airports looked already quite impressive in FSX with the standard scenery, and I'm quite sure they look super impressive nowadays. I don't have X-Plane 12 or MS 2024, but those are so, those are hubs in Florida and so great airport. You have to try it out. You it's it must look great. I just say it like this. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Maybe something I can do as a flight for one of our podcasts.
Yeah, and let me know in the comment section if I was correct or right. So, but I, as I said, I have no real world experience. I have no X-Plane 12 or Microsoft Flight Sim 2024 running here. But all I think is that you, yeah, hopefully say thumbs up, Jürgen. I hope so. Otherwise, I wanna know.
Is it included in Aeroflight? Do you know? Would that be a way people can do it, or I could do it?
Is Florida an Aerofly? I, as I said, I only have the older version of Aerofly. I can
Yeah.
also do in X-Plane 11. It is. I mean, as I said, I mean Miami as well as Orlando. So if Florida is included, should look really great because those are the major airports as far as I can think of. I mean,
Yeah.
those are really the international destinations. I think also if you fly from Europe to Florida, you will land either in Miami or in Orlando, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Something I can look into, and I can let you know.
Yep. And next time when you are in an airport, also you can confirm or say, hey, Jürgen, there are other flights. No, there are more international airports in Florida. Certainly, you can achieve also from Europe, but also, even if you have a long want to have a long haul adventure, this would be a destination. These would be two destinations of my choice.
Okay, sounds cool. Very good, very good. I'm always keen to hear new routes that I've never thought about before.
Good. And what about your second adventure? Or your, yeah, I'm looking forward to your second adventure.
My second adventure. Well, we discussed it before the podcast. I have quite a long list, so I'm gonna do it this way. I'm gonna actually choose an aircraft again. We did this last time as well. And this is an aircraft we actually never mentioned, which is a bit of a shame because it was one of my favorite aircraft at the time. So whenever people say PMDG, most people think of the 737, the 777, the 747. But PMDG also had an MD-11. I don't know if you remember. They
Sure.
did both. The passenger and cargo version for FS 2004 and later upgraded it for FSX.
Yep.
And that aircraft was amazing. I absolutely loved it. I mean, PMDG has always been great. And I believe at that time it was a curiosity because they were all about Boeing. I mean, they're still all about Boeing, you know, they concentrate on Boeing. And I'm not quite sure what was the motivation behind the MD-11, why they decided to do it. But I'm glad they did because it very quickly became one of my favorite aircraft. It was really, really cool. A good-looking aircraft. I spent a lot of time flying it. I did long haul with passenger planes, short haul with the cargo planes. Back in those days, Lufthansa still had the MD-11. Of course, FedEx, UPS, you know, all those aircraft were still around, even here in Europe. So I could just replicate their flights from London Stansted or Paris Charles de Gaulle. They were everywhere. These days it's obviously very different. But that to me was an aircraft I really, really enjoyed. And I really got like properly deep into it. Do you remember PMDG had those manuals, those PDF files that were really, really, really long? I actually printed the one for the MD-11 out. I bought a whole big folder. I
Yeah.
had it printed in color by a company because I think it was, I can't remember, 400 pages.
I
And
did the same. I did the same with the 747 and the Level D. I
yeah.
often I carried it to the copy shop and they made a binder.
Exactly. Yeah, I put it in a nice big folder and I would study everything, you know, learn how to create my own waypoints, how to fly a VOR radial and all that stuff. And it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. And I flew that aircraft for many years. Even when PMDG brought out newer aircraft, I just stuck with the MD-11. Even today, I still have a soft spot for that aircraft. I think it's very unique, very special, and I really like it.
But I saw some documentaries. This seems an aircraft that's quite tricky when it comes to the final approach, huh? Or also the flare.
Yeah, it's not easy to hand fly. I have friends that used to fly the MD-11 in the real world, and they all tell me that they call her the diva. The diva is very nice and a lot of fun, but she will bite you back very quickly. You need to be precise, and you need to be very, you need to know what you're doing. Very good speed management, very good energy management. Otherwise, the aircraft will just run away from you very, very quickly. But none of these people ever said anything bad about the aircraft. They all said, yeah, she was a bit tricky to fly, but actually, most of them said they really missed the aircraft. It was an amazing machine to fly. So, from that, I can take that it was difficult, but not to the point where it became a nuisance, so to say.
Perfect. Shall I read out, so to say, my second adventure here in this podcast?
Please, yes.
It's called Alpine Precision and it's from St. Gallen Altenrhein Airport to Innsbruck. And once for sure, please fly over Dornbirn and give me a virtual wave. That's my hometown, and especially on a day like this, no cloud on the sky. I mean, it's really also it's a hop. It depends on which aircraft you choose, but it's about 90 miles, and you can fly with a light business jet. Just take care the runway length, especially in St. Gallen Altenrhein, is 4,900 feet. And in Innsbruck is 6,600 feet. And I think Innsbruck, yeah, I mean, Stefan can tell you more about it. Yeah, you just Google or search on his FX Clips channel, Innsbruck, and you will find a couple. You can, I think this is around, you may, am I correct here? When there is around 100, 1.5 hour Innsbruck going on here, this is, yeah, you made a trilogy about how to land in Innsbruck. But yeah, I think also there, when there's a little bit of wind, you should be careful of the runway lengths, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to go into too much technical detail now. For those that don't know, I fly into Innsbruck in the real world, so I had to do the qualification for it and everything. The tricky bit for Innsbruck is actually the go around, because we always have to assume that on the gear go around we lose an engine. And then you know, if you land on runway 26, you have nothing but really, really high mountains in front of you. And if you then perform a go around and then you lose an engine, then you have a real problem. So that's why we actually cannot take a lot of fuel into this airport, because we cannot be that heavy. And then, you know, so it's complicated. But in the sim, you know, you won't have those problems. Engine failures are not really a thing in the sim unless you really want to. And I agree with you. Innsbruck is a really cool airport in the simulator. And actually, the Bodensee area or Lake Constance area as well. You can take off from Friedrichshafen and fly to St. Gallen, Altenrhein, which is a really short flight, and it's very pretty. You fly across the lake. In the background, you have the Austrian and the Swiss Alps. It's a really cool area, in the real world and in the sim. I guess you agree, yeah?
Hey, this could be even a this could be a triple adventure. First, this is really good idea. Take off in Altenrhein, make the hop over Lake Constance, land in St. Gallen Altenrhein, take off again, fly over Dornbirn, virtually wave at me, and then enjoy the flight. I mean, this is mountain flying at its finest. Enjoy the flight over Arlberg and, you know, the Rhine Valley, and then certainly follow down the on the other side, the Inn, and then enjoy or be challenged by the IFR procedure, depending of the weather, with strict terrain constraints, certainly. And I think, my research here should be correct. One of Europe's most demanding airports, Innsbruck.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a short flight, you know, from Bodensee to Innsbruck, from Friedrichshafen or St. Gallen to Innsbruck is not very long. So you can
I
do
mean,
the
with a light
evening.
jet,
Yeah.
St. Gallen Altenrhein to Innsbruck, I guess you can make it at around 45 minutes with a turboprop or a light wing, around 60 minutes. And if you have 90 minutes with a GA aircraft, especially when it's a little bit a faster one, maybe with a retractable gear, with 1.5 hour, you even have time to take a little bit a sightseeing to one or the other mountain. So this is easy, and just enjoy it. And if you want to have really sightseeing, go for VFR weather and enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful part of the world. Ah, you are very lucky to live there. It's a very pretty.
But on the other hand, certainly it's not always VFR weather. So if you go with real weather, then the procedures, precision, maybe visit the FS clips first and search for Innsbruck. Do your homework before you get yourself into troubles with the mountains around Innsbruck.
So you're saying it's a very pretty part of the world, but more often than not, you can't actually see anything of it.
It's a little bit unfair. It is a pretty part of the world, but certainly if there were only VFR, we would live in a desert.
Yeah, that's true. That is true, yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
There is some, but I mean, you spent the middle school here with me. It is, beautiful days, but also rainy days. This is Vorarlberg, this is Innsbruck, but this is what also makes flying, also in the simulator, especially with real-world weather, maybe really, really interesting.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I agree. As you know, I live on an island with over 300 days of sunshine every day.
Stop
So,
your third adventure.
I was just gonna say we have
No,
mostly.
this is not part of this podcast. Next adventure.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I was just gonna talk about how easy my job is here, anyway. Oh man. So if I just give one honorable mention to Innsbruck, as you know, I used to fly into Innsbruck on the sim. And when I did it for the first time in the real world, it was really cool because you do it in the simulator so often at home, and then of course in the training. When you do it in the real world, it's something really special. So if you have never flown into Innsbruck in the simulator, then do it. It's an amazing airport. So what do we finish off with?
Not is an island of 300. This is not part of today's podcast. Not with this. We have to cover now the third adventure of yours, if you allow.
Yeah. So you actually mentioned this once when we talked about my channel, and I had completely forgotten about it until you reminded me. I once replicated the longest flight in the world, which was operated by a Boeing 777-200LR, and they took off from Hong Kong. And they flew all across the Pacific to the west coast of the US. They crossed the whole of the US. They crossed the whole of the Atlantic. And then they landed at London Heathrow, which was over 23 hours long. And I still remember I wanted to replicate this flight in FSX and I wanted to film it. And I had to do a lot of research on how this flight was done and the flight route, because that's very important. And I do remember they did a lot of really cool stuff, like they got fuel with a special density so that they could actually fill up the tanks completely and get the most out of the fuel. They had priority from all the air traffic controllers. They didn't have to wait on the runway. They just taxied out and took off. They made sure the temperatures were right. They had a whole team of meteorologists finding the best route with the jet streams and everything. I didn't have any of those things. I just had FSX and my PMDG 777, and I tried to replicate the whole flight. And 23 hours was a long time because I was on my own. So I took off, I stayed up for a few hours, and then I went to bed and I set the alarm. I can't remember, every 2 hours or every hour or something crazy. I got up, I checked on the flight, made sure the fuel was still okay, went back to bed, slept a bit, and that's what I did for the whole time. And I made it. I landed at Heathrow, which was cool. But it was really tough. I was really tired at the end of it. But it was a cool adventure, something I still remember. And yeah, I made a whole video out of it, and it was a lot of fun. Not sure I would do this again. Maybe I would do it with someone else so that we could swap. But anyway, it was a cool, interesting adventure back in the days.
We talked about it already in episode 15, so this is about your channel. And I made the same search on your channel I did back then, and I found it immediately. The title of the video is "Can We Fly 23 Hours Nonstop?" And there you will hear, you can listen to a very, very tired Stefan. I think if I got it right, I am destroyed. This one, or I'm something like, yeah, I'm trashed, or I'm just, so you, this was before the final approach, and I think you first, yeah, you were reluctant to really land it by your own. You wanted to have an auto land, but after all, you landed on your own.
Yeah, I was so tired. I was worried that after all this flying, I would screw up the landing. So I initially thought maybe I should do an auto land, but then I thought, nah, that doesn't feel right. I need to land it myself. And it was okay in the end. So it was fine, yeah.
Yeah, but this is really a must-have scene. It's almost a classic. I think I watched it twice, when I was preparing for this 15th episode, and I already have seen it a couple of years ago, and it was I don't know, it's a classic. It's a FS Clips classic you have to see.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I was much younger and not as reasonable as I am today. I don't think today I would do this anymore.
You were tired and you were landing quite fine. So
Yeah.
nothing, nothing to say about this, but it was really, yeah, it was really real life tiredness, life on tape.
Yes, very good, very good. So what's your next adventure, Jürgen?
It is also one of my, yeah, almost forgotten sims on the Amiga. I didn't spend that much flight hours like in the F-18 Interceptor, but there was another game, or sorry, it was a flight sim, and the title is quite straightforward. I don't know, marketing guys had a good idea. Fighter Bomber.
Okay.
Yeah, it was released in 1990, and I found two company names. Now I'm really interested. Please comment me if there's something wrong in what I say now in the YouTube section. I'd be interested. But I found Digital Image Design in Activision. And the interesting thing about Digital Image Design, the next generation of their sims on the PC were also combat flight sims. This was EF2000 and TFX. So this was, so to say, their first hit, because for at least for me it was an amazing sim. And there was a tornado with automatic wing sweep, as well as a F111, same with automatic wing sweep. It was a tactical mission design, and this is my flight adventure for today, because certainly nobody have to go back not many people will have an Amiga 500 around and this flight sim. But there was a refueling model, and this was for me impressive. It was the first time I had the chance to simulate our air refueling. And this is really, really crazy. It is demanding. It's like, it's really precision flying, and it teaches you really to be precise on the stick and also with the throttle. It's a challenge of its own. It's really, also for me as a mental trainer, I just can say, if you really want a mental challenge, high end, go for air refueling. And nowadays, certainly the best thing you can simulate this is on the DCS. And also here, my research, no real world or no real flight sim experience in DCS, but there seemed to be a free mod. It's the A4E Skyhawk mod that can be downloaded separate to the DCS. So both is free, the free DCS and this A4E Skyhawk mod. And then you can do the, you can simulate the air refueling, so to say, for free on high-end level. And if you want to be even more challenged, go for the F-16C. I just can think a light agile fighter like the F-16, you need finesse, real finesse. This is really, it's all about patience, absolute control and finesse, and for more than just a minute. So this is really, as I said, if you want to have a mental challenge on the highest level, go for this.
Yeah, I agree. Air-to-air refueling is incredibly tough. I tried it a few times in DCS, and it is, if you have never done it before, don't wait till you are low on fuel.
No.
Start off with half tanks, because by the time you finally connect, you will be low on fuel. At least that's what happened to me.
Yeah, it's sort of kind of a precision formation flying, and really you will bounce around, and especially when you're nervous, yeah, when you're low at fuel, then it gets really, I think, it gets nerve-wracking.
yeah, it is. It's incredible. I have a lot of respect for the real-world pilots that do this on a regular basis and make it look so easy.
On the Amiga, I flew it preferably with the F-15. This was a little bit more stable and forgiving, but even back then, it was really, as I said, they really did a great, great job with this fighter bomber back in the 90s. And I mean, it's quite impressive that even there was a sim that could, somehow, for me, it was How realistic was it? I don't know. I mean, it's a few years ago, but it was quite, as I said, it was challenging. And for, for the year 1990, certainly a unique feature in the flight sim.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool stuff. It's good that you are able to do this from the comfort of your, home, without any danger, without any risk. I'd like to know how many people had to do this again and again and again before it actually worked, because I had so many goes before I could finally connect to the fuel tanker. It was insane. Every little movement, every little thing, you're immediately off target. So like I said, a lot of respect for people that can do this.
And I cannot hold back for another call out to the Aviation Quest Z community all around the world. If you are one of those fighter pilots who ever did air refueling or flew a refueling plane, please write in. We want to interview you. But no, joke aside, if there is really somebody in the aviation community, industry, flight sim community, industry who thinks, hey, interview at Aviation Quest Z sounds fun. Yes, it is fun. Just write us. We will set up a time and over the internet, comfort from home, as Stefan just said, or from the office, no problem at all. And we'd be happy to have guests here. We love to make those shows with the two of us, but the future should be more and more guests, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like you said, we've already had some amazing guests and there's some more in the works. We're talking to a lot of people, but if you think there's someone we should be talking to, then just let us know.
Oh yeah. A last thing before I forgot, a little bit of spoiler alert for next time. We will cover... No spoiler about the main part, but we will also cover your Discord server. There's something new going on since a couple of weeks, I think, Stefan. Give us a short little rundown.
Well, this was requested by a lot of people that subscribe to my channel. They said, why don't you have a Discord? Apparently, that's the thing to do. So finally, after all this time, I've given in. And so there is now a Discord server and lots of people have already signed up. And it's where we have some discussions, where we share screenshots or pictures from the real world and, just hang out and talk about stuff. And it's really nice community. And obviously, we also talk a little bit about the podcast. So if you're interested in any of that, then go over to FS Clips. At the bottom of the video you will see the link to the Discord.
Let's see, maybe also Aviation Quest to see will be we will discuss this after the show, Stefan. You already made the announcements of the episodes there, but let's see. Discord server, we have to be there by Aviation Quest to see air law.
Yes, exactly.
Hey Stefan, thank you for your time. I think it was a nice and hopefully also useful episode for the flight sim geeks out there, and we are, as I said, looking forward for your feedback. Thumbs up, like us, whatever, always allowed or always appreciated. And I am looking forward to planning with you a great next episode. Please stay in the line afterwards, Stefan.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have a chat as always. And for now, thank you very much for your time, Jürgen. As always, it's been a lot of fun. And thank you to everyone for listening. And we look forward to seeing you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC, Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.